Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. Google's evil, remember it. Try to do something about it where you can. Anyway, so the word of the day is sort of slavery. Not really connected to too much except just understanding that, you know, in this argument, I would argue, okay, that yes, the human race is enslaving the human race to perpetuate, you know, some sort of notion in some of the human race's head. So some of the robots walking the earth somehow think it's a great idea if we just keep, you know, playing this silly game over and over and over again, reliving the same victories and defeats over and over again, because somehow it's hugely profitable and it makes the universe such a more charming place or some kind of crap like that. You know, it cures universititis. You know, if it wasn't for human beings, the universe would be suffering with universititis or some kind of crap like that. Some little narrative, some little story in people's heads of this is the right thing to do, because it makes me personally happy. And that's what it probably just comes down to. So this sort of could be related. You know, as I thought of the word slavery, you obviously first think of things like the Civil War, and, you know, and then the idea came to my head that, yeah, the whole game of slavery is defeated as soon as the slave owner understands that the victims are just as real as they are, and their feelings are just as real as their feelings are, and their comforts and discomforts are just as real as their own, and that they're not really accomplishing anything to gain personal small gratification for one individual out of a whole bunch of misery for a whole bunch of other individuals. That math don't work. And so that's, once that's an idea in the head that's not working, that doesn't work, it doesn't work, it doesn't work, there's no way you can get in that car, right? I mean, if you know the car doesn't have an engine, you're not even going to bother, you know. Somebody says, get in the car and we'll go to Magic Land. No, I'm not going to, why should I even bother playing any of this game? There's no engine in the car, you're not going anywhere. It makes a robot who's non-compliant, because the robot knows it doesn't work. And so the robot says, hell with it. It doesn't work. That's the logical thing to conclude. Yeah, I like your story. I like the idea of getting an ice cream or something. But no point investing in your strategy, because it's not going to work. You can't get there from here the way you want to get there. So this gets to be such a big subject. So it is a theme in a lot of sci-fi movies, slavery kind of thing. You could even say the Star Wars was a slave state, you know, where the Empire enslaved a bunch of other planets or whatever to feed the Empire. Stargate, you know, more of an artistic version of slavery, you know, vanity, and, you know, you can find so many ways that... just an interesting movie in terms of how it made it more visceral, more like human touchable in terms of the it being about emotions and psychology, you know, because the force of evil was just this wacky psychology, essentially. You know, there wasn't any logic to it. It was all just about a, you know, personal ego, blah, blah, blah stuff. And then The Matrix is another example, you know, really stupid one just because of the huge plot flaws, you know. I mean, you wonder in The Matrix, did people just die slowly in the hospital? I mean, could they not, you know, in enslaving the human race, the machines, you know, they claim that the perfect world didn't fail because somehow humans couldn't live in a perfect world. But how much imperfection did they leave? You know, how much torture did they say, oh, that's okay? You know, kind of, you know, so there was a huge illogic in it. And the whole idea of making batteries out of humans is, you know, just overtly silly especially in a world that's full of all kinds of violence, you know, in terms of the environment is doing lots of environmentally violent things, that you could certainly take advantage of all that energy. So none of it really made any sense. Lots of plot flaws, but it had an overt slavery built into it. And so it's, you know, and then I thought about if you were to meet another alien, let's say another being in the universe that acquired the capacity to think and understand and manipulate, you know, in complex and sophisticated ways, the material universe. You know, whether it was, I think it has to be in some way or another, you know, it has to evolve, right? So the first subject that might be interesting to talk about is the different paths to your creation, you know. You know, how you find the distinctions, and would there be any, you know, would it be possible for something to gain control of an environment without ending up enslaving pieces of their environment to serve their purposes? You know, even just the fact that in evolution, the battle is about who can steal the energy, you know, in a lot of ways. It's just about having to be fed to be able to replicate. That being the definition of success, it's kind of a narrow functionality, in its rudimentary form, and it would tend to create the same kind of monster in the end. I mean, how much different are the Frankensteins going to be? I mean, what have the aliens enslaved? So you could argue that if something got to being a sophisticated intelligence, they would have some knowledge of the price you pay for anything you have. And certainly we could be judged, you know, as pretty poor aliens, in the sense that we enslave not only our own kind to our economy and, you know, to our capitalism and, you know, to a lot of things, but, you know, we enslave all these other sentient animals that are clearly part of our history, part of who we are and what we are. We wouldn't be us without them. And we're just have almost zero empathy or concern for their entrapment in, you know, a mechanism that has really high attrition and really doesn't give a damn about them. And you know, we overtly, you know, put them in terrible conditions so we can just exploit them for our comfort foods, you know, not even out of necessity anymore, you know, because it makes us feel better if we eat them, you know, and do it cheaply. You know, so we're not going to come off very smart in a sense, by kind of an easy mathematics, because if we saw other aliens doing it, it would probably be a lot more apparent to us. You know, if we saw the green tentacled thing enslaving the brown tentacled thing, you know, and it making some rationalization about how, well, us greenies are better than the brownies, you know, and, you know, some bullshit excuse for why there's this double standard in how things are treated. You know, that hypocrisy would probably be so much more obvious to us when somebody else is doing the same thing you're doing, and you say, gee, that was stupid. you can always backseat drive your own driving, you know, and realize that, you know, you can be really guilty of a lot of the same hypocrisies. So anyway, so somehow all this gets to the fact that, look, but the real truth is we're just robots, okay? We're just machines. And what we're really struggling with is, as I stated, is that just that idea. There's just an idea in your head that makes, you know, 1 minute slavery can make perfectly good sense because, hey, I'm doing great, right? As long as I'm an owner. But as soon as you realize that you're that's not the definition of a winning plan, isn't how many of your friends die. You know, that's, you know, it's about, you know, it's not about whether you succeed or fail, or you feel good or you feel bad. It's about, you know, the collective byproduct. So anyway, so the simple argument can be made is that, you know, you could tell people, well, you know, having kids, you got pretty much a 50-50 chance now of having one that's going to be a lot more cynical than you are. You know, your kid isn't going to think it's a great idea to have kids, or that it's something you just jump into for the fun of it, or you make reckless mistakes and then just kind of say it was on purpose when you know it wasn't on purpose. You know, all that bullshit is going to sound like bullshit to them. So what are you really doing? You know, you're creating a slave to what are just notions in your head that somehow there's something useful or purposeful in the project, and you're just basically saying that, yes, any one of the kids that comes out being a little cynical and a little less impressed by the quality of the play of the game, you know, they really aren't thrilled, you know, wearing their Google hat and, you know, celebrating and bowing to Elon Musk and whatever the Amazon loop-de-doo is. You know, that doesn't sound like, to them, that's not like, oh, that would a great life. No. So, you know, that's just a form of slavery. You're just enslaving the ones who aren't going to think it's a great idea to just gruel out an existence in a mediocrity that's always going to be smelly and dirty and, you know, it's always going to be full of, you know, scars that don't heal kind of thing, injuries that won't go away and, you know, just isn't going to, you know, you're just imposing a bunch of negatives. For what purpose? You know, because you have some dream of creating another being that's going to just basically be a faker. And, you know, let's just say that most of them are just fakers. I mean, they're not nearly as happy as they, you know, portray. You know, it's all propaganda. You know, all the support and all the clapping, you know, they all stand and they applaud and they clap and they do all that crap. And they're doing that just out of everybody else is doing it. And, you know, it's what we're required to do. It's part of our slave duty, you know. And, yeah, it's kind of pitiful. So that's the theme. Now, how do I turn this into a video? Because, you know, it is just kind of too big a subject, because it filters into every part of what you would define as how something's going to function in the universe. It has to interact with the rest of the universe. And the idea is what's motivating its interaction? Is its interaction motivated by, I need energy, you know, I need to get some food. You know, I need to take the resources, you know, to maintain myself, to survive, to do the minimums that's going to make me happy. You know, anything that's in the universe is going to have to do that. It's going to have to measure, can I abuse this part of the universe without hurting it? You know, and, you know, for us, it's, like I said, most of those decisions are just material things that, you know, it's not going to be a big consequence. But even that, you can think a little deeper and you can say, well, every time we drink out of a styrofoam cup, you know, we're consequentially causing, you know, some turtle to choke on it or something. Where, you know, there's implications to even the things we think of as benign. Aren't so benign, because they have implications to the future. Every time we deficit spend or do some other thing, you know, we're subjecting the future to some kind of jeopardy. And it's just a fact. You know, we can't escape the fact that it always has an implication. And I've sort of talked about that's just one of the huge negatives of life, is that we can't know all of that in advance, so we can't do any real prevention in our life. I can't prevent this video from being misinterpreted by somebody, you know, and then them turning it into some other thing I said, and, you know, I can't control any parts of most of the parts of your life you can't control, because little stupid things like just saying hey to somebody could get them run over in 10 minutes. Like, you're changing the universe every time you touch some piece of it. You've now caused the chain reaction that'll affect all kinds of other people. Sort of as I pointed out, you can find Miss Wright, right? And you can find a perfect relationship. Well, you have to consider what would have been if you didn't find her first, so to speak, and she found somebody else, and she would have been 100 times happier, or some kind of other number, you know. And, you know, there would have been 500 other people who would have had better relationships if you didn't screw up the relationship pool. You know, if you didn't fuck it up by, you know, picking the wrong person. I mean, a person that was vital to the rest of the universe having a good time. You know, you spoiled everybody else. You rained on everybody else's parade, you know, by screwing up all these other relationships. You know, literally, it could be millions of other relationships that are messed up just because you make a choice and you pull something out of the fish pond. You completely change the evolution of the fish pond. Now, it could be you pick something and you don't change it at all. You know, it changes, you know, 3 scales on 1 fish and nothing else. Or, you know, like I said, you could pick and it could be catastrophic in terms of you caused the Civil War. Yeah. Who wants to play that game? I mean, who, you know, what serious, anything that took it seriously, like all of this matters. Like, it matters if there's billions of animals being tortured. Or it matters if, you know, little kittens are getting run over. And it matters that all this stuff happens to somebody who takes it at all seriously, that all of these other sentient beings being put in all kinds of jeopardy and being exposed to all kinds of torture. Well, yeah, if you take that at all seriously, like, you know, like it's a real value equation, like there's really something at stake. Well, it's pretty hard to sit there and say that's a good time. It's not a good time. It's not a good time to worry about, you know, all of these, this pressure, you know, to live your best life, you know, not to leave a bunch of opportunity, you know. It's sort of like being a general in a war. I mean, most of them just were psychotic, ego loonies, you know. But what if you really cared? You know, what if you were really worried about your men and the other men on the other side and were trying to create the best solution that would create the fewest people dying horribly? You know, what if that was your ambition? You know, it's a pretty tough skill. You know, it's a pretty hard performance art. It's, you know, walking 3 tightropes or something. You know, so it's not going to be some fun thing. It's going to be work. It's going to be, you know, constant regret and worry and concern and fret. And there's probably a better word, you know, to, you know, this tedious task of being constantly reminded. The pressure's on. Everything you're doing matters. You gotta do better. I mean, I experienced some of this, so I know it's, you know, it just takes the fun out of making a video if it, oh, it's not about me. Oh shit, it's about actually what happens in the world. You know, that takes all the fun out of it. You know, it's not as simple as you just open your mouth and you just say shit and everything turns out the way you want to and fuck it. Whether it turns out or not, it's not my business. It's not my fault. I did my job. Well, maybe you didn't do your job. I mean, it's really easy to say those words. My brain can manufacture the words. Maybe you didn't do the best you could have. Maybe you, you know, left a whole bunch of good strategy on the table. so there's nothing fun about that. I guess psychologically we are capable of, you know, I just will try not to think about that. And I'll keep emphasizing the fact that, hey, I'm a victim in all this too. Why do, you know, I don't want the job. I didn't ask for the job. I'll find some excuse to say, you know, it's not my problem. I didn't make the world. You know, but the counter argument is you're making it right now. So don't be complaining that you didn't, I didn't cause it. Well, so what? You're causing now. You're participating. Participating is causing. So instead of causing what you could argue is, you know, you didn't make the monster, but you certainly can tie some ropes between trees and see if you can get the monster to fall down, you know, and then, you know, stab him in the head with a carrot or something. I mean, you can, you know, you can come up with some better strategy than just being another cog in the grinding, and just say, well, I'm just, you know, everybody else is cogging and grinding, why can't I just do that? Why do I have to be the anti? You know, why do I have to be the rock thrower? You know, so we can all make excuses to find some way to, you know, go do what we want to do. What's more fun than worrying and fretting and thinking and, you know, especially when you have to think thoughts that just recognize, you know, where you end up recognizing how vulnerable you personally are, and that, you know, there's, you know, the story isn't all that wonderful, you know, just as if, you know, parents had real conversations with their kids instead of just fairy tales, they'd probably have their kids crying, you know, because they would, their kid would be like, what, you're subjecting me to doom and death and disease and I have to, you know, stab my best friend in the back, you know, in 20 years from now so I can get ahead. I have to do all these freaking pretty crappy things if I'm going to have any kind of decent life. If I can avoid being a, you know, I'm going to have two choices, master or slave, you know. And I'm going to have to be a shithead to be a master. you know, and if I have any integrity, I'm going to end up going to be a slave. And worse, I'm going to be a slave who's non-compliant. You know, and so he's going to be, you know, overtly targeted by the master protectors. You know, I'm going to be hunted down and, you know, I'm not going to have a great life if I have a good life as a, you know, a good functioning machine isn't going to find too many roads that are possible to travel that are going to be both comfortable and productive. Not likely. And so when you're having a kid, it's, are you thinking about that? You know, what am I making? If I make a good person, the good person is going to feel bad in a world that's so cruel and unfair, where deserve and logic mean so little. You really don't want to have a smart kid because he's going to probably have to take some Prozac to get through his life. And then what are you going to make, a dumb victim slave? Or are you going to make a callous, cruel owner, you know, who needs, you know, millions of dollars a day to sustain their happiness? They have to grind up, you know, they have to, even just for the most trivial entertainments, they'll have to go to Africa and shoot a giraffe in the neck, you know, just because it's fun. Fun. you know, they'll have all kinds of psychoses. You know, so what are you winning? Where's the victory in any of this? Making masters, making slaves. You're just feeding a war that should never be fought, because there's no function here. There's no game to play in manipulating the universe. You can't, there's nothing to do but keep the universe quiet and painless. Give it morphine, put it to sleep, you know. Because anytime you jiggle it, you're just going to create some kind of imbalance somewhere that's going to cause some kind of harm. All right. So I'll take a break. Be back. Probably. All right. As pauses usually do, just moments to think, and then some little thing will pop into my head. Okay, so I'll just sit here and think, you know, about thinking about it. And, you know, some idea will percolate through all the crap in the brain, all the stored pieces of information, all this crap, and somehow in my subconscious, I mean, I don't have anything to do with it. None of my fingers are on any of the controls. Some idea will just pop out of all of that. So my brain will apply some sort of logic. And so what it was basically doing, it was going through why people are so, you know, you can't get to them. You can't reason with them. And then the word comedy popped up. And the idea that they've even made, like, sci-fi movies now aren't even, you know, they used to be kind of dark. You know, 2001 Space Odyssey, it wasn't so much it was dark, it was just confusing. How the computer going wacky, some other kind of, you know, even the old Star Treks was always, there were problems to solve in the universe, right? I mean, Star Trek was like a medical ship or something going out to, like, let's go solve another problem in the universe, you know, some little psycho planet with its own little problems, and we'll come there and heal them some way, you know, some sort of bullshit like that. You know, some syndrome that had some parallel to some human dilemma, they would recreate it in another world and analyze it, like war, you know, and their solution to the war problem was, you know, you don't blow everything up, you just have you play on a game board, basically, and, you know, your computers battle with each other, and if you lose, then some of your people have to commit suicide, you know, so you take all the ugly out of the war. You know, all the battlefield deaths, and you're just really saying, okay, yeah, you have to die, but you don't have to die badly. And we keep all of our infrastructure intact, and so we don't have all this unnecessary collateral damage and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they're like real subjects. And now it's all been turned into, you know, now they make sci-fi movies that are comedies, you know. And, you know, there's the themes are still big and profound in some ways, but they make a joke out of everything. You know, I mean, trillions are dead. You know, it's a joke. You know, it's not. And that's part of the problem with humans is, you know, you have to coat everything with the sugar. You know, every idea has to be coated with the silver lining sugar. You can't possibly talk about something as just being shitty. You know, something just being, ugh. No, it always has to be, you know, put in its little candy coating, you know, so you can eat the shit, so you can make it consumable by people. So, you know, and the other part of it is the magical part. So the other word that popped up was, you know, comedy and magic. And so that sort of gets to religion. And, you know, they always, you know, in a lot of sci-fi movies, they always shove some spiritualist in there. Some, you know, somebody who can read the future. Somebody has, you know, these magic human powers. And it just, you know, in some cases it works. Like Darth Vader had them, but he used them so explicitly well that, you know, so... it was done well enough that, oh, it wasn't too much of a crime, because it was in the evil, too, which was good. You know, it wasn't like the good guys had any of those, you know, any real power. They had the same powers, but you know what I mean. You know, I guess they hadn't, well, whatever. I mean, the dark force seemed stronger than the, you know, the force of good seemed kind of feeble and weak. But yeah, that just spoils it all too, because it just adds this more candy to just sort of just pretends that we can all feel like we're going to be able to do that, and like somehow this is where we're all heading, is to some world where we're going to have all this power and all this control, and that even if we had it, there would be anything, like the control would be anything but shitty, where you'd just be making decisions like, all right, well, if we kill four people over there, we save six people over there, If I give that kid cancer, then those seven kids don't get cancer. I mean, it's not things you're going to feel really good about. They're going to be decisions where, it's not a win, you're just less of a loss. You're just fixing how badly you lose, not, how, you're not going to the winning circle. You're just going to the less pitifully losing circle. So yeah, nothing to celebrate. And the fact is that the meme engines running civilization are dependent on a whole different kind of psychology that keeps trying to win and keeps thinking winning's possible, and that you can win and there won't be any losers, dead on the field in front of you. That somehow you can have some perfect victory where I didn't really kill anybody. I just punched them in the face and, gave them a little black eye or something. They do that in movies too. They take some of the, they either, they do either one, right? They either feed people this gluttonous, gratuitous violence too, so they can viscerally, exercise their hate, and their frustrations and their angers. Or they do this other game where they play, well, you can play the game and nobody really gets killed. They're all just injured somehow. It's bullshit. And people just live on it. So that has to connect somehow to the fact that there is this big problem in the world of religion and spirituality. And all this, these mushy, silly notions of what's happening in the universe, even all the physics with all it's turned everything into little sparkly stuff and swirly colors, and it's all about the colors, and ooh, it's all like chasing rainbows. I mean, it's the metaphor is almost not a metaphor because they've turned every single image of something in space into rainbows. I mean, it's almost like you could almost, they're just round rainbows, So they've made it into a cartoon. The universe is a little cartoon pretty place. They've changed, converted them. They've taken the raw data and colored it for the human beings and made it look like it's candy coated. And there's no like real understanding of the radiation and the whole understanding of how the whole thing is just constantly being ripped to pieces. Just makes it all more so much more benign than the real story. The truth gets so lost in this fake, phony life we live. In this fake, phony, silly world of marketing and, superficial book by its cover bullshit, and that gets to another sci-fi movie, a Twilight Zone episode, right? To serve mankind. Oh, it's a cookbook. So that's the real dilemma. Is how do you communicate in the real terms? How do you turn it all back into real data? Deconstruct, take the, peel the coatings off and try to talk about things as real things rather than these fantasies and these hopes and all this mush about some purpose and function, when all we are is, mechanical predators, machines that just rip other machines to pieces and consume them, and then, fart out their eggs, secure their future, by making copies of themselves. It's, ugh. You know, that's, it's not a good story. You know, but they're trying to make it into one, you know, into some heroic battle, when it's, you know, it's there's nothing, it's, there's things to admire, okay, in terms of, well, it's shiny and the chrome is nice and the, but it's the Terminator, you know, it's just a machine. It's just made to do a kind of a stupid and myopic function of just being a slave to an idea. And that's what people end up being. It's just slaves to ideas. And the ideas are nowhere near or nowhere even close to reality. They're just a slave to a silly, you know, walk in a road that doesn't exist. And they're just pretending it's a real road. And, you know, they're just making rationalizations for going, I wish it was just going nowhere, but that's not the problem, right? The problem is they're using the bricks that could make a hospital, and they're instead making, you know, some sort of monstrosity that'll do nothing but fall down. You know, it's probably a much better metaphor for wasting resources and wasting time and wasting mental capacity, just thinking nonsense and believing in nonsense. Eek. All right. So another break is in order, I think. So I'll be back. All right. So the thought process went to sort of the frustration of this and how this isn't much fun, talking about all this stuff. It's not as much fun as it used to be. Because you see over time that the arguments get lost by the people who just make a mess out of something. So it's like once they came up with the phrase Dr. Death, you know, for Jack Kevorkian, they lost all sight of, you know, that it wasn't about death. It was about a sincere and a deep appreciation for suffering and the fact that if you can get rid of the unnecessary suffering, that's a huge win. And it's hugely logical and sensible. And so he's, you know, he's this beneficiary. I mean, this person who has no love of death, he's not somebody who sits there and enjoys watching it or any of that. The whole story is that it was this, his frustration as a doctor, you know, being obliged to participate in a torture that was the driving force. And, you know, it's converted and perverted into crap by, you know, people. And so, you know, a valuable conversation about the fact that there are fates worse than death, that, and that there are certainly fates that are just stupid. I mean, they're so illogical, you know, to torture something that's already dead even, or to spend millions of dollars keeping somebody who is factually dead in terms of being capable of being a participant as a conscious being alive, merely for what? Because you're afraid, because you can't deal with the imperfect, sloppy world you're going to impose on people. You have to somehow justify the horror you're imposing by pretending the horror doesn't exist. And, you know, so it is a discouraging element. I mean, this week sort of there's been a lot of that kind of crap. I mean, I spend 40 years caring and feeding feral cats, and then people want to make me into a malicious cat killer because I believe, like Kevorkian, that there are fates worse than death. That sometimes a cat has a circumstance where it has no future. There's no plan. You know, there's no possible good result. No logical one. No one that you could, you know, it's such an outside chance of success that it's a surgery you don't bother doing. Okay, the downside risks are so much higher than the upside potential. And because you apply that judgment, you'll be called a name. And, what the fuck is that? I mean, you can't have a logical conversation with people who do that. You know, and that's it's discouraging. And you know, there's other subjects where, you know, they just pervert and convert you know, your opposition to rape or slavery or molestation and convert it into something else, because in one circumstance as described, you'll concede there's no options. There's no better choice. So therefore you're pro the fact that you don't have a better choice. You know, that somehow you're an evildoer because you can't stop evil from happening in the universe. You know, you didn't win. You're a David fighting a Goliath, and somehow you're on Goliath's side if you throw your rock and it misses. Somehow you're an ally of Goliath. You know, I mean, it's just so bad. So, you know, it just proves, you know, how difficult it is to communicate with people because they are so dishonest and so full of their shit. You know, they're, it's like the whole Muslim thing. I mean, that all this confidence and, you know, based on nothing. I mean, no hard evidence, nothing they've personally experienced or any of that crap. I mean, it's just this blind obedience, you know, to a childish fable, you know, built out of just a culture that just keeps enforcing this idea that there are Smurfs, and if we try hard enough and we wish hard enough, you know, we can live in Smurf Town and blah blah blah, and we can enslave the Smurfs and get lots of, you know, diamonds or something, you know, some silly story about some promised future. It's pathetic. And then you see how, you know, it's all, the only part that makes it work is a bunch of extortion and a bunch of horrible bargaining. And you can almost see some honor and integrity in some of the worst people. I mean, the worst terrorists, some of them are, you know, doing insanely clinical logic, you know, where they've been put in a position where they can guarantee the welfare of their family members by sacrificing themselves. You know, they can give the rest of, you know, the people they care about, they can give those people a better life, you know, by sacrificing themselves. You know, a lot of people from other countries, you know, like the Chinese and stuff, they came here for that purpose. You know, they come to America, you know, to sacrifice themselves, you know, be used up, you know, beaten down, you know, working and having no life so they can build a future for the rest of their family. You know, really honorable, but, you know, this is, you know, these are really committed slaves in a sense. So, yeah, I mean, I, the honorable part only goes to the idea of the self-sacrifice, but beyond that, there's nothing honorable in endorsing the system or even in the nepotism that it's all built out of. You know, you just go back to the argument that they, why they want to do this. Oh, so they can give their family swords, you know, to enslave other people with. You know, they can hone the weapons that their family will use to just be as, you know, be just do the same thing to a different group. You know, just put it to just put somebody else in the torture chair. You know, they get out and they, you know, put three other people in the same bad position. You know. So, yeah, the fact that people don't like stories that don't glorify their existence, okay, I get it. You know, but when the resistance is, you know, so dishonest, then it just becomes a, you know, a battle of bullshit. You know, all the ways they cheat to defend that stupid notion that I, you know, I need the world to be purposeful, and I won't allow you to tell a story that I'll have to listen to that tells any other story than, you know, their notion of God and heaven and all that stuff. And look at what they did with, you know, the simple little narrative that Darwin proposed as a truth. And it didn't even have the human element in it yet. You know, it didn't even point out how we're robots and we're just animals and we're, you know, motivated and all that, and all the psychology that goes with that. Just an explanation of a glimmer of some competing theory for how we ended up here. And they couldn't even tolerate the existence of the theory, let alone accept that they're going to logically be obligated to recognize that there's about, you know, 10 million tons more evidence for that theory than their religious fables. So, yeah, it's nothing, it's, you know, it's just not very encouraging. Because you don't, there's no conversation till you find an honest person to have the conversation. You know, I mean, the conversation can't have much value if the people listening to it refuse to accept that any of these statements about what we are and where we came from are true. You know, that we are just biological machines, that we've been tailored to little niche environments. That we developed intelligence because it gave us a competitive advantage and the capacity to, you know, better brutalize the world and for our purposes. And that's all we've done. That's all human civilization has done throughout its whole history is beat the shit out of itself, you know, the other humans, and trillions upon trillions of animals, it's enslaved their welfare to its progress. And what has it progressed into? A bunch of memes and bullshit and commercials and Twitters and punchlines and bad jokes and bad songs and just bullshit. Ugh. Not a great story. And it's on the prefaces of, you know, lots of dealing with, you know, the unsustainable behavior, having to drink the polluted water. You know, it's, you know, it took a shit upstream and it's, you know, it's going to get home and, you know, it's going to pay the price for that. And then things aren't good, that it's going to be even a harder time probably to get anywhere because people will be so, personally affected, that they won't even have time to consider, bigger purposes. It'll just be about me and my family even more. All right. Anyway. Enough of a video, I guess. Whatever. Yeah, I guess I'm just... less than the usual enthusiasm. Yeah, let's just say. But anyway, I'll endeavor to persevere. Just keep trying. And I have to strategize better and such. And until I do that, I guess I'll just keep making videos like this. But yeah, I do, you know, aspire to better functionality. We'll see what happens and such. I just need better conversation is what it comes down to. So until I can be more, you know, relevant enough to get into a battle with the other idea defenders, because I think that's where I can prove my usefulness, is in arguing the argument. Yeah. And such. So, till the next time. Yeah, that's really enough. So... this has been a Do Not God video presentation, pointing out also that Google is evil and we should do something about it.